High Desert and the great American soggy Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world. This program, Coast to Coast AM, circulating all the way around the globe, one way or the other. I'm Art Bell. The weekend edition underway. How you doing? We'll review the world news a little bit. Never a very happy thing to do. Do a couple of other things and then do open lines until we get to our guest next hour, whose name is Dr. James Hart. Promises to be very, very interesting indeed. A lot about... Well, you know what? I think I'll just make you wait. Biofeedback, I guess, is one little hint I could throw you, but it's going to be interesting. Mohammed Abbas declared victory in Palestinian presidential elections Sunday after exit polls showed him winning by a wide margin. So you see, every now and then, exit polls are right, giving him a decisive mandate to renew peace talks with Israel, rein in militants, and try to end more than 4 years of Mideast bloodshed, a lot of blood. The victory of the staid and pragmatic Abbas, who opposes violence and has the backing of the international community, was expected to usher in a new era after 4 decades of chaotic corruption and corruption-riddled rule by Yasser Arafat, who passed on to whatever virgin territory on November 11th. In Indonesia, one of the rescue planes has crashed, a U.S. helicopter actually, on a relief operation, and that has suspended operations for at least a short time. Strong aftershocks, as well as security concerns, provided yet more challenges as we try desperately to get things to those who need them. After this awful event, a videotape, in fact, shot as a tsunami swept through Indonesia's Aceh province, aired for the first time Sunday. It showed a roiling torrent of dark brown water engulfing a busy street, picking up cars, minivans, sending people scrambling up the sides of buildings. A videotape broadcast by Metro TV, a commercial channel based in Jakarta, apparently shot by a cameraman who normally photographs weddings. But there he was. He captured a horrific record of the entire unfolding December 26 disaster, starting minutes after a giant sea earthquake in the Indian Ocean brought down buildings, including a scene hours later showing a long line of corpses covered with cloth. There are detailed photographs circulating on the internet in which the corpses are not covered, and they were lying in... It's some really awful stuff. I don't know if you've seen it. I hope not, in a way. U.S. troops opened fire near a checkpoint south of Baghdad after the convoy was hit by a roadside bomb, and a hospital official said on Sunday that at least 8 people were killed in the second American attack in 2 days to have deadly results. In other violence Sunday, a U.S. soldier assigned to the task force Baghdad was killed by a roadside bomb, while a Marine was killed in action in the volatile Anbar province. Now, a little closer to home and very close to me, areas of the Sierra Nevada, famous for large amounts of snow, have really hit bingo. Nobody's ever quite seen anything like it. Very steep drifts, stranding an Amtrak train, they're hard to stop. Knocked out the Reno airport, began shutting down major highways across the mountains. Storms have caused flooding in Southern California and Arizona, but what's going on in Reno? Again, Southern California, heavy rains and blizzards slammed California on Saturday, triggering floods, mudslides, tying up traffic from Southern California to San Francisco and into the Sierra Nevada mountain range. In fact, listen to this. This comes from Fred in Reno. In case you haven't been keeping up on Reno, oh my God, the Reno Tahoe airport is closed since early afternoon. Says Fred, the end of life as we know it, or it seems exactly like the day after tomorrow. He says, indeed, it's one for the history books, and one of the top snow producers in the entire last century. A strong storm adds big numbers to Friday's snowstorm totals, with a strong feed of tropical moisture. This is the gathering of the storms, folks. The movement of moisture from the Pacific and snowy pattern here continues with a bit of break on Sunday, says Fred. The winter storm warning has been extended to 4 a.m. on Tuesday by the National Weather Service. Also, strong wind gusts will bring dangerous whiteout conditions, and new layers of snow bring increasing avalanche dangers. It's the worst storm since 1911. Winds at the mountain crests at the Sierra up over 150 miles an hour. And they have just feet, well, he says we've got over 4 feet of snow in the last 24 hours in the North Valley, that's north of Reno, by 7 miles. So there are people, I imagine, in the Reno area looking out their windows and seeing nothing but white. And I don't mean a white blanket, I mean white up at the windows. That kind of snow in. More in a moment. By the way, if you have something of intense interest to the audience, then you are welcome to call. The lines are open now, and we'll get to it shortly. Remember last night, somebody called and said that he had heard that well water in Virginia was sloshing around for several minutes following the Indonesian earthquake. Remember that? Well, here it is. This comes from the Times-Dispatch, Richmond, Virginia. Spawned by the South Asian earthquake, seismic waves roiling deep within the earth made Virginia well water rise and fall by 3 feet, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. So it's true. Strong oscillations at a 450-foot deep well near the Round Meadow Country Club in Christiansburg in western Virginia started about an hour after the magnitude 9 quake struck 9,600 miles away. Now, that's very nearly as far as you can go without beginning back again. In other words, the other side of the world. Seismic waves travel through the Earth at, get this, did you know the figure? Do you know how fast they travel? 7,400 miles an hour. It took another 5 hours for the sloshing to settle out. That water's going up and down, up and down, up and down in that well. That's a quote from a groundwater specialist, David Nelms. He said the height of the oscillation came about 77 minutes after the powerful earthquake struck near Sumatra. The water level then rose about 2 feet, according to Nelms. Data indicate the water came at least within 4 inches of the surface, perhaps even spilling out. We saw it here. What's amazing to me is we saw it here. In about an hour, we were seeing something from the earthquake on the other side of the world. So that is, that's fairly amazing when you sit and think a little bit about it. The other side of the world, just about as far as you can go without starting back again. Now here's a little weird news, very weird news actually, and you can go to the website, coasttocoastam.com, I believe, and see the map I'm about to describe and look at the area I'm about to talk about and decide if you think it's true or not. It comes from the India Daily. And the headline is, China and India both know about underground UFO bases in deep in the Himalayan border area and deep into the tectonic plates. Now, I'm going to have trouble with these names. It's Kanka is the low ridge pass in the Himalayas, the blue oval in the map that you can see on the website. It is in the disputed India-China border area. In the map, the red zone is, and again, you can see the map on our website, is the disputed area still under Chinese control. The Chinese-held northeastern part is known as Aksai Chin, and Indian Southwest is known as Langt. This was where Indian and Chinese armies fought major wars in 1962. The area is one of the least accessed areas in the world, and by agreement, the two countries do not patrol that part of the border. According to many tourists, Buddhist monks, and local people in that area, Indian Army and Chinese military alike, maintain the line of control, but there is something much more serious happening in that particular area. According to a few locals, people on the Indian and the Chinese side, that's what makes it so interesting, this is where the UFOs are seen, brace yourself now, coming out of the ground. According to many, the UFO underground bases are in this region, and both the Indian and Chinese government know this very well. Recently, some Hindu pilgrims on their way to Mount Kailash, is it, in the Western Pass, came across strange lights in the sky. Local guides, while in the Chinese territory, told them that this was nothing new, and it is a normal phenomena from Kanga Pass area and the tense border between India and China. The strange lighted triangular, keyword, triangular silent crafts show up from underground and move almost vertically up. Some of the adventuresome pilgrims wanted to look into the site. They were first turned by the Chinese guard posts as they were refused entry from the Chinese side, and then they tried to approach the side from the Indian, the other way, the Indian side. The Indian Border Patrol also turned them back. Now, if you want to read this whole article, you're going to want to make it up to the website. So what have we here? We have a map of a disputed area between India and China, where both sides, the Indian and the Chinese side, have viewed these triangular craft coming out of the earth and rising vertically into the air. Now, what are we to make of that? That's pretty strange stuff, you've got to admit. I've got a lot more, but you know what? Let us go to the phones and see what awaits us. West of the Rockies, good morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Turn your radio off,
yes,
please.
It's off now.
Yes, good.
Yeah, Art, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing well.
I'm Jamie from California, calling you on 970 K News.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, last week NASA announced that they were going to go blow up an asteroid.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, we are going to be able to see it from Earth here, and that date was going to be on the 4th of July. Did you hear anything about that?
Well, I didn't hear that it would be July 4th. I'm well aware that we are going to smack into an asteroid at rather high speed for some sort of scientific purpose, but I wasn't aware it was on 4th of July. I certainly wasn't aware that we'd be able to see it. But
yeah, they announced it on Sunday.
That would be way cool.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And it certainly might dwarf anything anybody else would do.
So, but that's it. I just wanted to know if you heard anything about it.
No, not with respect to the 4th of July. All right,
well,
thank you very much, sir.
It was going to be this year, on 4th of July.
Got you. All right, thank you. I'll check into it. Is that indeed, folks, when it's going to be? I know we have plans to smack into one of those suckers. And then I also know we have plans to collect some stuff from behind one of these fast movers. I don't know if it's one of the icebergs or rocks, but we're going to collect the leavens and bring them back to Earth. And I've thought a lot about that. I'm not sure it's an altogether wise thing for us to do, but we're going to do it. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Hi.
Yes, hi, Art. I'm calling. I was wondering if you, I think you had a caller a few months ago talking about phone numbers, people dialing numbers, the dead talking to the live, I guess, via the phone.
Well, I don't know.
I recall hearing that on the XM radio, I think.
Uh-huh. That could, it could be.
It might have been George Norrie.
Could be.
But we had a situation where we had a number that was dialed to us. It was 111-111.
Yeah, I know. I've heard a lot of people have that one.
And
it was left on your caller ID.
Caller ID.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've had a number of people who have told me about that it came up all ones. And I have no idea what that is, and I also have no idea whether it's related to those who have received calls from the supposed dead. That would be in the category of EVP. Now, if somebody on the other side can actually dial a number, I am really impressed. The fact that they can get their voice modulated over some sort of tonal device is incredible enough. But to imagine they can actually dial, oh, that's over the top. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Well, I guess you're not. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, hello. I'm Charlie in Kauai.
You're calling from Kauai, huh?
Yes.
Where I bet it's beautiful.
Oh, it always is.
Yes. Well, that foul thing that's over us right now was said to be from Hawaii. I believe they called it the Pineapple Express.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a bad dispersion on this. I don't know if it comes all the way from us.
Yes, it does, and many of us are very resentful.
Oh, dear.
Just want you to know that. Okay. As you enjoy the sunshine and light trade winds,
uh-huh.
And here it's the day after tomorrow. All right, go ahead, sir.
Do you have your white noise generator ready?
No.
Oh, gee, I was going to make a demonstration. I've invented a chip which makes free energy by turning heat directly into electricity using white noise.
Your device, let's get this straight now, it turns heat into electricity, but the basis of it all is white noise.
Yeah, the white noise is the spectrum of thermal noise is over the full radio spectrum.
Well, I do have white noise here, sir, but I wouldn't want you to get burned.
Oh, okay, but it's very small. It's over the whole radio bandwidth. It's about a nanowatt's worth, but I'm thinking of integrating a chip with billions of diodes in parallel that would aggregate this.
Okay, the only problem is you need power to produce white noise.
No, the thermal noise is white noise, too. It's just not amplified white noise, but as the electrons move around inside of the electronic parts,
you need power to generate white noise. You say thermal noise.
Yeah, the energy comes from heat. It's one of the parts of heat. Just like if you have a liquid solution with small particles in it, they will move around at random, too.
Fascinating.
So electrons will do the same thing in a circuit, so you'll turn heat into electricity if you rectify them.
All right, well, if you get an opportunity, email me a copy of whatever it is you're doing, and if I can help you out, I'd be glad to. I don't understand the concept exactly of what you're doing, but interesting. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
That's
the first thing you should do. Yes, sir.
My grandpa, few days ago, told me about, he was listening to your show a couple years ago.
Yes.
And you were talking about a hole in Siberia that they put the mic down.
Yes.
And there's a bunch of screams or something.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was wondering if you could play that.
You really want to hear that?
Yeah.
Do you realize that hearing such a thing could affect you for the rest of your life in perhaps some negative way?
Yeah.
And you still want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
All right. This, according to a Reuters news story, you've heard of the Reuters news service, right?
Yeah, I think I have.
Uh-huh. The Reuters News Service wrote a story about this. Some scientists drilled what was said to be the deepest hole in the world ever drilled into the ground in Siberia. At some point, some of the scientists thought they heard something coming from one of the holes. Many people feel this is some sort of urban myth, but I'm telling you it was in Reuters. Anyway, I did obtain a recording of it some years ago of what they allegedly recorded when they lowered microphones, into that hole. I'm now going to play that for you, and it is said that after they played back what they captured, they all took off and ran just like what you're going to hear, hell. Ran like hell. Here you go. That, sir, is the recording. There you have it. And so, how do you feel?
I really don't know.
Well,
that was interesting.
Yeah, it was a lot more than interesting. If I heard that, I'd get religion.
Yeah.
Have a good night, sir.
You too.
Tell you what, these drums do rock, don't they? Really awesome. The numbers are coming up, and I want you to pay very close attention, because here on the weekend they're just a little bit different. Here they are.
Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from East of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From West of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Albeit a mite mangled, those are the numbers. Good morning, everybody. It's open lines from now until the top of the hour. And then we're going to explore the world, the very deep world, actually, of biofeedback. Don't touch that dial. Radio lets us live. Well, all right, to the lines we go, and first time caller line, let us begin there. You are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Ron from San Diego.
How you doing, Ron?
I'm doing fine tonight. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Great. My question's not so, paranormal or anything. I was just asking maybe if you could tell me who the artist was that music with those drums came from.
The drums.
Yeah, it was your intro music or your exit music that you just had on. It sounded really neat. They had some like chanting and then the drums.
Something like that?
That is it.
All right. That would be a group called Cusco, C-U-S-C-O, and they do a lot of, South American-influenced music. Cusco, C-U-S-C-O.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
So rock and get a copy. It's really something. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Top of the morning.
Good morning, Art. I'm wanting to report to you about the seismic activity in the Richmond, Virginia area, which is highly unusual.
Seismic activity in Richmond?
Yeah, the Science Museum sent me kind of background on it. We're in the middle of the state. We're not in the mountains. We have some hills.
Yes.
When you get to Charlottesville, that's more or less the foothills of Blue Ridge, and that's where they've had some earthquakes over the period since 1700s. So here we have in Richmond something in 1774, something in 100 years later, and always with a small magnitude. Actually, all of them are fairly small, 4.5.
Yeah.
Well, last year, at the first week of December, we had a 4.5 in this area, and then exactly almost to the day, a year later, we had a 2.5, I think it was. And then the north side of the city here, they have put in some seismic, recording devices, because they've had these booms. Now, no one knew what these booms were coming from. Now they think it's just underneath the ground, just a shaking kind of a small amount.
My dear lady, we have been experiencing the booms you're talking about out west here forever.
Well, you put underground some of the seismic recording devices, you may find that it's underground, not detectable by the normal means.
There's something down there. There's something down there.
Yes, and indeed, what's interesting about this area is that Gordon Michael Scallion, whom you know, who's been on your show a lot, when he was lecturing here in the 90s, he came down once, and he said that he determined by his psychic abilities that this area actually is going to, when the changes come, that it will be rising from Richmond onto an area of 50, 100 miles.
Well, let me stop you for a second. You mentioned Gordon Michael Scallion.
Yeah.
Were you aware that Gordon had predicted for a very long time a large event in the exact area where it occurred? Were you aware of that?
You mean in you're talking about the tsunami?
The Indonesian earthquake.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, he's been all over that for a long time.
Well, I don't know if that's part of the Ring of Fire, but...
It is. It certainly is.
Yeah, well, in this area, I thought it was hysterical that he would say that this area would rise, because, you know, the Southerners have said, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again, and here it is, the Confederate capital. I thought it was hysterically funny.
I don't think he meant in that metaphorical sense, though. I think what he meant was an actual physical up you go kind of deal. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Steve. I'm calling from Central Texas and picking you up on KTRH tonight.
Yes, sir.
I got a quick question. Do you remember a movie called Mars Attacks?
Ah, yes, Mars Attacks.
Jack Nicholson?
Of course.
Do you remember?
In fact, I watched it again just recently.
I've got the DVD, and I was watching it last night. Do you remember where the Martians land?
Well, of course. They land here in Pahrump. Yeah. And, moreover, Pahrump gets destroyed.
What I'm kind of curious about is, what kind of deal are you making with the Martians, Art?
I didn't make any deal with anybody. That was a certain director's sense of humor, who obviously listens to this program. And I thought it was hysterical.
It shows good taste.
Well, you'll recall that the theatrical Pahrump was nothing but a bunch of bleachers in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of the desert.
Yes. Well, the real Pahrump is now coming up on 40,000 population, sir. And people are moving here faster, damn near by percentage, than they are to Las Vegas. It's incredible what's going on here. So it wasn't that empty place you saw.
Well, have a good morning, and do me a favor. Destroy that tape.
Never. There could be certain dangers involved in the destruction of that tape. He refers, of course, to the tapes of the sound of hell, or whatever it is down there. It probably serves as a good reminder to, to be good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Yes, extinguish your radio, please.
It's extinguished.
Good.
I'm running across Idaho, listen to you on XM radio.
You're actually running across now? The weather's bad. Oh, you mean in a vehicle, right?
Yeah, in a truck. I'm trucking across Idaho. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
I'd be pretty tired if I was running in the cold.
I would think.
I have a question about, I heard these stories about an upcoming polar shift. Is that a physical polar shift or electromagnetic polar shift?
Well, your choice. Both stories are circulating. One would be a very mundane, you'd barely notice it, but the compass would be different kind of shift. And the other brings on 300-mile-an-hour winds and sort of wipes mankind off the face of the globe kind of deal. So, both.
Okay, was that the basis behind your story and the movie Day After Tomorrow?
Not at all.
Okay.
No.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. We all know the polar ice caps are melting, and let's focus on the northern polar ice cap. All that fresh water's got to go somewhere. And
that's right.
Won't go out the Bering Strait.
Wait a minute. Let's be sure that we understand what we're talking about here. The ice in the north, sir, is already in the water.
Okay.
So we're not going to have a serious event as a result of the polar ice melting. You know, it's like ice cubes in glass. They melt and the level remains the same. However, in the southern part of the world, in the Antarctic, if that, the Ross Ice Shelf, for example, if that goes into the water, so will many American seacoast cities.
Okay.
Okay. You know,
okay, up in the north, though, here's what I'm thinking. If that fresh water, which is out there, and all the ice melts basically in the north,
yes,
it'll go down towards the North Atlantic, which will block the Gulf Stream, which would push it further south, and then the northern polar ice cap would form over towards, say, Iceland and Scotland and Finland instead of where it is now geographically. Wow.
Again, visiting this just for the sake of discussion, the danger in the freshwater melt is not so much as you described as it is the freshwater diluting the salinity of the ocean, and then perhaps the North Atlantic or the Atlantic current halting. And should that occur, why Europe would very quickly freeze over, and North America to a lesser but still catastrophic extent would be affected. So it's not as though it's meaningless what's going on up there. It's still very dangerous. It's just that it will not account for sea level rise dangerous in a different way. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. I am humbled.
Well,
I'm Sean. I'm listening to you on XM in Colorado.
In Colorado, yes, sir.
Now, I don't know if you remember or ever heard a few months ago, Paul Harvey, and as far as I'm concerned, if Paul Harvey says it, it's gospel.
It's got to be true.
Did a story on a bouncer in London that got stabbed, and his blood was not human, and there was never any follow-up.
You're so right. I remember the story, and it's one of those where there's never any follow-up. I don't know what else to tell you. I remember the story when he told it. They tested it. It wasn't human, and you're right. There was no follow-up. And isn't that exactly what you would expect if the blood really wasn't human?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would do anything to hear. But I do want to make a comment about your tape.
Oh, the tape.
The Siberian thing.
Yes.
You know, I thought that was urban legend. It's on urbanlegend.com. But if it is faked, I really worry about the soul that made that.
Oh, that's a good point. Listen, again, that was a real... I made very sure that it was a real Reuters story, and I think twice over the years I've posted the Reuters story on our website because eventually, like everything else, people don't believe it. It didn't come rolling out of some city as an urban legend. It was a real Reuters story. And I'm pretty sure it was Reuters. Anyway, twice over the years I've dug it up and posted it so that all could read it and know it was so. Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art. I have a question. Do you remember the interview that you did with a gentleman by the name of Bugs down in Texas regarding Bigfoot?
Of course.
Are you going to have another Bigfoot show sometime?
Only if it is warranted.
Okay.
And by that I mean I don't do programs just to be doing them. For example, Bugs is a very good example. There was every reason in the world to do that program when we had Bugs. This is a man who shot a couple of these creatures, knew where they were buried. I mean, if you listen to that show, and I would recommend that everybody do so, objectively listening, you could tell this man was telling us the truth. This guy was scared to death.
Absolutely.
And so I took the time, and well, I think we made not just one, but actually two shows out of that, because it was so incredible. So if something like that comes along, sir, we'll rock and roll.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you very much. Not just to do it, but if there's a reason to do it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Just calling in to discuss the topic of cancer.
Where are you, sir?
Toronto.
And what did you want to say about cancer?
I do believe that there is more money to be made by chasing a cure instead of finding a cure, because if we do find a cure, then they will make these doctors and whoever researchers will make no money.
You've confused me. Let's start again. You think there is more money to be made by chasing a cure, you said?
Acting as if we're trying to find a cure. Because the longer we do not find the cure, the more money doctors can make, acting like as if they're getting a cure.
I see. So you think that perhaps the medical profession or, I don't know, some pharmaceutical company or something actually has a cure and they're suppressing it so they can keep making money. Is that it?
Yeah.
I got it. All right. Well, I don't subscribe to that. And I think that if there was a cure for cancer, the amount of money in that would be so astronomical. And there would be so much goodwill for those who had found it that indeed it would be out there. And I know this goes down in the category then of the 100 or the carburetor that runs on water, the machines that produce more output than they take in, being perpetual motion and giving us free energy. It puts it in that category in a way, if you listen to that caller or think as that caller does, but I don't. And I believe that if we had a cure for cancer, it would darn well be out there. Now, albeit somewhat expensive, but it would be out there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I wanted to correct the gentleman you had in the first half hour. It's not an asteroid. It's a comet.
Okay, a comet.
Yeah, Comet Temple 1. And I was wondering when your that special on ABC is going to be broadcast. Have they given you a date on that yet in February?
It's in February, I believe. It could be as late as March, but I believe it's going to be February. Last time I spoke to them, and that was about 3 weeks ago. So I'm really looking forward to it. And you'll see promotions about it till you're sick.
Oh, that's cool.
So you won't miss it.
Great, great. Well, keep up the good work. Oh, by the way, I'm prediction number 68 that those comet parts are coming down and starting the fires.
Oh, that's right. He made a prediction about us hitting a comet and then there being fires because of pieces and parts that come scorching their way into Earth. Yes, we did a special, which I thought was, in fact, it accounted for a ding with regard to the mainstream press. They came here, and Peter Jennings is doing a big special. Now, what ABC has told me is that this is going to be a not a chuckle piece. It's going to take a serious, hard look at ufology, and that's what they have promised. We'll see whether that's what they deliver or not, but it should be coming in February, perhaps March. But I think February, and you'll begin to see the promos for it when they decide on an air date. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Chris.
Hello, Chris. Yes.
Yeah, just to comment on your voices that you played earlier and stuff like that. You got out of, where was it again, Siberia?
That's allegedly where it came from, yes.
Wasn't there like a website that was put up on that, like a few years back? I say about 3 or 4 years put back when that.
There have been many websites about it, sir. Some calling it a fraud, some saying it's real. You choose.
Which particular one did you get that information off of, or was it somebody else?
Oh no, this was sent to me by a source years ago that claimed that it, and there was some reason to believe that it was authentic. This was sent by an individual, sir.
Okay.
All right.
That's all I really want to know. Art, we take it easy and keep doing a good job.
Have a good morning or evening. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Pete from Detroit, listening on CKLW 800.
Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to talk to you about that Global Consciousness Project and some of the information that they've recovered over these a couple events recently.
Yes. I made sure, incidentally, a weekend ago, that the results from the 60-some-odd eggs with regard to the tsunami event were posted. I hope you saw them.
I did. And I tried to conceive of what would have registered on that system.
God, I don't know.
That was human or
non-human. Everybody should know that what we're referring to is this project at Princeton University to monitor the global consciousness pool through a series of eggs or computers scattered geographically around the world. And by God, once again, even after the 9/11 event, which began to spike before the event itself, 30 minutes ahead of the earthquake and tsunami, it began to rise way the hell up off scale at Princeton. And so they're beginning to build a record of, what would you call it, credibility in the area?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What if they're registering angelic and demonic activity prior to these major events?
Well, that would still be a pretty big story, wouldn't it?
In preparation to receive the souls of the departed.
Well, whatever it is. I mean, if it was that, that would be a gigantic story.
And this same activity could also be responsible for some of the unusual earthquake activity that we've seen. This stress, this power, this battle that's going on.
Right, sir, now. Anything could be, but anything that begins registering 30 minutes ahead of an event that otherwise is unpredictable, when you know the real story on it, it's going to be a big story, right?
Right.
Because it means that in some way there's time travel, precognition, something going on.
Angels, demons, something's going on.
Demons, if you wish, whatever.
Angel?
But baby, it's going to be a big story. All right, yeah, I can tell you're biased toward the angel possibility, which is fine. One thing, as I said, though, for sure, is that whatever, as Paul would say, the rest of the story turns out to be, it's going to be major, and it's going to just rock everybody's world. All right, coming up in a moment, we'll begin a different kind of adventure from the high desert, the soggy high desert, in the middle of the night. I'm Art Bell.